The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello, good day. Welcome into First Take on a Feel Good Friday. Stephen A., I don't know what that laugh was about, what that meant, but we will get there shortly because inquiring minds need to know. Stephen A., Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karen Rose.
Yeah.
We good, gentlemen?
We good.
All right, let's go. So the sky was falling for the Bucks. You all heard it, even without James Harden on the court. But Giannis and Middleton were up for the challenge, putting up 33 and 35 respectively, defending home court against Brooklyn. The Nets now up 2-1. Here's Giannis on their first win of this series.
We scored a lot. It didn't look as pretty, but at the end of the day, we got a win, and that's why we came and showed up tonight. We knew it was a very, very tough game, and we knew that we needed this game as much as possible. And hopefully we can get the next one, but at the end of the day, a win is a win. It doesn't matter if you win by 30, it doesn't matter if you win by one.
Do we have a series? Stephen A., are you more or less confident in the Bucks now?
Less. Am I supposed to be more confident because of a win? Yeah, let me tell y'all something.
That's generally how it works, yes.
Not
for
me.
You're less confident and they won last night. I just want to make sure I'm comprehending this.
Because James Harden did not play. Because these brothers were up 19 in the first quarter and were up 3 at the half. Just like that, the Nets came back. And let me just run through a couple of stats here. Kevin Durant, we really think he's going to shoot 11 for 28 again? Really think that's going to happen? No. Kyrie Irving, 9 of 22, didn't attempt a shot in the last 4 minutes of the game. You think that's going to happen again?
All right,
Joe Harris, Max Boy, 1 for 11 shooting from the field, 1 of 7 from three-point range, wide open looks at the foul line and still missing. You think that's going to happen again? I don't think that's going to happen again. And that's where I'm going with all of this. It would be one thing if they played their game and the Nets scored 115, but the Milwaukee Bucks scored 120 or something like that. You really think the Brooklyn Nets, as Max Kellerman will call it, maybe the greatest offense ever assembled in the history of basketball, is going to be held to 83 points again? Are y'all insane? Oh, no. And still, you got by the skin of your teeth because some dude named Bruce Brown is lucky he's allowed back in a team hotel. How in God's name?
Listen.
I don't want to completely destroy the brother. He's had a good season. He had a good game. I actually really, really like him. He's a talent, and I'm just messing with him just for the day. Molly,
KD,
if
there
was
the ball.
ever a moment of blasphemy exhibited on a basketball court, it's that dude thinking that you're supposed to drive into the lane for a contested layup instead of finding KD, who, by the way, had just scored 7 straight, struggling all game, and then Middleton's making shots, and KD like, give me the ball, yank, give me the ball, yank, another 3, yank. I mean, just putting it on.
You can't kill him, though, because he kind of kept him in the game at one point. You can't kill him. That was a mistake.
The blasphemy. You don't know to if it was Kyrie or somebody, I still would have preferred KD, but it's okay. Bruce Brown? Listen.
He was feeling himself a little too much.
Just remembered that your name wasn't Bruce Bowen. We thought that we were like, is Bruce Bowen still playing because of the spelling of the name? We had to look with a microscopic eye in a box score just to make sure that that's Bruce Brown, not Bruce Bowen.
Got a bow tie on or what's going on?
Is he? And you?
I can't. It's too early for this. I haven't had my espresso yet.
Oh my God.
But Molly, when you saw that, you were thinking the same thing.
Out of your mouth right now.
I was like, what? I I'm sitting there, I almost choked on my food.
Okay.
I was like this.
I was laughing. I was
You took the shot. I mean, you got to know. You give it the ball up to KD. That's all I'm saying. Is that going to happen again?
All right, look,
no.
All right,
we're
you're right. We never thought we'd be talking about the Nets' offensive issues. That's fair. Max, where are you on this?
The question is not do we believe now that the Bucks are going to beat the Nets.
Yeah.
No, Stephen A. is pointing all the reasons out now why the Bucks aren't going to beat it. The question is, are you more or less confident than you were before they won? I'm more confident than I was. Let me tell you why. Number one, they were freestyling without James Harden. Uh-huh. The Nets are so talented, they can still get theirs freestyling without James Harden. But also, if the shots aren't falling, this is what happens. With James Harden, they are a well-oiled offensive juggernaut. There is no chance, under any circumstances, that they would be held to an 80-something, 90-something score with James Harden. When I say, Stephen A., that they, by the if they can stay healthy by the end of this run, this will be by far the greatest offense, not in the history of basketball, in the history of American team sports. This will be the number one offense. There's going to be no way to... That has to do a lot with James Harden.
I need to remember this. The number one
offense if they stay
in
healthy
the history
together,
of team
of American team sports. Yeah, there's never been anything like this.
I might need to bring this back someday.
Three guys, Harden, KD, Kyrie, all get their own shots at historically elite levels, all convert them from everywhere at the same level. Joe Harris can shoot. Blake Griffin's back. It's impossible. Okay, but without James Harden, that's not what they are, number one. Number two, do you remember what I said? And they're starting to show we need Harden. Mm-hmm. We want to beat everybody, crush everybody. We need Harden. Remember when I said that Chris Middleton, Stephen A., and Jrue Holiday aren't enough, right? It's not enough for a big. Giannis is a big. He needs more. And you point out, hey, they can shoot this. The reason Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, once in a blue moon, will make an all-star team is because they're really good, but they're not consistently excellent on an all-star level, or they'd make more all-star teams, right? The reason Kyrie and James Harden and Kevin Durant are obviously every year they play all-stars, but also sometimes MVPs, is because they're consistently better. So the supporting cast that KD has, in addition to KD being better than Giannis, is more consistently excellent. But what Middleton just showed is he is capable at times of being an all-star. Jrue Holiday hasn't had his game like that yet. So are you more or less confident in the Bucks after they won? You got to be more. The Nets are missing James Harden. It's not like the Bucks don't have anyone. They just won a game. Maybe they can squeeze out another one before the end of this series.
Listen, on Twitter right now, there's this little video. Some guy, Joshua Johnson or whatever, put out a tweet, and even LeBron James said.
Oh, is it Josiah?
Josiah.
Yeah,
right?
No,
and even
he's
LeBron
hilarious.
James said, man, what the hell is wrong with you? But it's funny. It's a scene, I believe it's from Harlem Nights, where that guy is shooting a little pocket gun.
And Arsenio
got it. Slapped him over the head. Stop shooting that little damn gun. Stop. And they were like, that's what KD wanted to do to Bruce Brown. Because, see, that's the whole point. See, in a game of basketball, when you find somebody that's just on another level or a team that's just on another level and they know it, sometimes they come out and they blitz you the way they did in game two. Then you go back to their home crowd, you watch them get the momentum, and then all of a sudden you're like, it's gonna be all right. Just wait, be patient. We'll just mow them down, we'll just chop away at them. And that's what the Nets were doing. And the reason why you know that's the truth is because as the game waned, the two-time league MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo was nowhere to be found. You know why? Because he was giving that ball to Chris Middleton. Because Chris Middleton was hitting some shots. Then what happened? See, this is where you know greatness. When not only was KD putting on a show, everybody in the building knew he was going to shoot. Even Kyrie was like, here. Now, that's Kyrie, a showstopper. He's like, here you go.
You know, the hot hand. It's KD with a hot hand.
KD was like, bang, bang. And that damn Bruce Brown. Yeah. You're the only one of all people. Only one that don't know to give. And by the way, I blame Steve Nash, too, because remember, the play, they bobbled the inbounds pass or whatever, but a play was really designed for Kyrie with Bruce Brown instead of just making sure to get KD the damn ball, okay? So I didn't know. That didn't go unnoticed with Steve Nash either. But in the end, still in all, what it comes down to is that you know what you know. And you look at the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm just saying, they are toying with these brothers. toying with them because they know they got KD, which I told you. He is the ultimate factor. It's right. about him.
But without Harden, they lost the game. And by the way,
Harden's
injury.
It's one game.
Yeah, but you could see the offense was not. It's all just freestyle. It's not organized without Harden. He's the pick and roll master.
When Milwaukee probably didn't want to
Harden's
be there.
Harden's injury. Harden's three things real quick. Harden's injury. Kept him out, what, 20-something games? Like, they better hope they get him back pretty soon. They're going to need James Harden, number one.
To
number
win
two.
What?
Number two. No, they're going to beat the Bucks even without Harden. But
okay.
It's going to be
and
much more
else?
Difficult.
Philly and then right?
Well, let's see how they do against Philly
oh
without Harden.
Oh, my God.
Or the Hawks. Let's see. Number two. This is something you didn't even mention, which should make you more confident in the Nets. The defense last night. The Nets were playing defense last night. And three, well, that's actually a big deal. If the Nets can play defense, it's impossible. Number three. KD's last shot looked good to me. Like they're kind of lucky that shot didn't go in. I thought the shot was good. They could have won that game last night.
Can I just say something really quick? I know
sure.
we only have a minute left, but a lot of people were talking about before this game. It's a legacy game for Giannis. So what did he prove on that front to you?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
His shots, listen.
He was more forceful, but he made bad decisions. He was shooting jump shots, and you were thinking, what's going on? What's Giannis doing?
Molly.
Yeah.
He shot 1 of 8 from three.
Yeah. Okay.
He shot 4 of 9 from the free throw line.
An ill-advised attempt.
We all know, subtract the perimeter shooting element from the game, and Giannis is all world. The issue with Giannis Antetokounmpo is one thing and one thing only. He can't shoot perimeter shots. And come playoff time, I keep saying this. I don't know how many times I got to say it. Defenses get back. That's what made Magic Johnson and the Lakers so special. Somehow, some way, Showtime never left, even when the playoffs arrived. They found a way to push the ball up the court and run it. Nobody could do that.
I just wanted to see, because they did get the win, if it did anything in a positive direction, but apparently it didn't
do
much.
It did. It's just not enough. But, yeah, it goes on a positive direction.
Fair enough. I can't say enough about Donovan Mitchell, who scored 37 points in a 117-112 Game 2 win over the Clippers on Thursday to give the Jazz has a 2-0 series lead. He's now averaging 41 points against the Clippers. He has more points scored than minutes played in 6 games this postseason. As for the LA Clippers, they find themselves trailing 2-0 for the second straight series. Paul George had a big scoring night despite the loss. Here he is.
They weren't number one in the West for you know, no reason. This is a tough team. But, you know, we're approaching this the same way Dallas was, you know. And so as good as they're playing, as good as, you know, this matchup is, as tough as this matchup is, we still feel like there's moments throughout this game, this series, that, you know, we're making plays that are self-inflicted. And so, again, it's a lot of uphill, but, you know, we're optimistic. That, you know, we can get this under control, we'll go back home and, you know, one game at a time, but try to tie this series up.
First of all, the braids are on point, as always. But Stephen A., when I was watching this game, I thought of you. I'm thinking to myself, Lakers out, Heat out, maybe Clippers out. I know your travel plans are looking kind of sad right now.
Yes.
So with that being
better
said,
hope Milwaukee doesn't beat Brooklyn.
Are the Clippers done, in your opinion?
I think they are. I don't think they beat Utah. Well, first of all, it's not fair for me to even say it like that. What I mean is I picked Utah to win this series before it began.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certainly not going to pick them to lose 4 of the next 5 games.
Okay.
So that's where that comes from. And the reason why I said that is because of 3 things, not necessarily in this order. They have a big-time perimeter defender in Royce O'Neal who can chase ball handlers around and chase stars around. They have an elite reigning defensive player of the year frontline defender Rudy Gobert. And they have a superstar. Make no mistake about it. Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. He's the kind of guy you can sit up there and say, here's the ball. Take us there.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody knows it's you, when everybody knows what you're going to do it, when everybody can imagine how you're going to do it, and they still can't stop you. It is official. This brother, after what he did last year, Remember, sent Russell Westbrook and Paul George home in the playoffs a couple of years ago. You know, and so, you know, breath smelling like Similac wet behind the ears. He pulled that off. Last year, he put on the show against Denver and Jamal Murray and the boys, even though they lost in seven games. This year, he is 6-0. They are 6-0 when he is in the starting lineup. He is averaging 32. In this series, he's averaging 41 on 52% shooting. He is giving it to the Clippers. He is outshining Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined.
MVP of the playoffs right now?
Absolutely. Yeah.
He is outshining. Let's put it this way. Donovan Mitchell, when he ended with 37, I was disappointed.
Listen.
Like, he had 37.
Like,
I was
come
like,
on.
I was like, 37? Like, I thought he was going to go for 60.
You're like, at least get in the fours.
Listen,
yeah,
y'all.
That's how good he is.
Listen, y'all. Mm-hmm. And understand what else he's doing. If you're Steve Ballmer,
yeah,
the owner for the billionaire owner, multi-billionaire owner for the Los Angeles Clippers, building a new arena in Inglewood and all of this other stuff. If Donovan Mitchell takes your Clippers out, guess what, Max? Let Kawhi go. Let him walk. Let him exercise his option and go elsewhere. Because now you're talking about your best chances with LeBron James home. You're talking about this is arguably the Clippers' best chance to win the chip. If last year wasn't, certainly this year was.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it done now, now you're talking about retooling, rebuilding, trying to establish a culture. You can't establish, as big time as Kawhi Leonard is, you can't establish a culture with a dude that you've got to exercise load management with
right, look,
so excessively. So I'm just saying.
Can they win?
I'm just saying. The magnitude of what Donovan Mitchell is doing to these Clippers cannot go unnoticed.
It's certainly not going unnoticed. It's the headline.
Yeah.
And by the way, Donovan Mitchell, most points, I believe this was before even this last game, to start a playoff career in the first 28 games, whatever it was. MJ, number one, greatest scorer of all time. Wilt, number two, second greatest scorer of all time. I think Donovan Mitchell's now third on that list. MJ, Wilt, Donovan Mitchell.
Max, he's already the best player in Jazz franchise history.
Yeah,
ahead of Karl Malone. And
Yeah. Oh, when it counts. Oh, yeah.
He's already
when
better.
It counts, yeah.
He's already better.
Look. Over.
Yes.
Karl Malone
and John Stockton. They were never him.
Okay.
Ever.
I just want to make sure everyone's hearing all these bold
things
that are
happening.
When
the lights shine brightest, I agree. Donovan Mitchell's clutch factor is next level. But the Clippers can still win this series.
Okay, sure tell us
can.
Why.
Sure they can. First of all, Stephen A., I have a question for you. Who won the first two games of the Clippers-Mavs series this season?
Mavs.
Who won the first two games in 2016 of the finals? Cavs-Warriors. First two
Warriors.
Games of Cavs-Warriors.
Warriors.
Who won the series Clippers-Mavs this year?
Clippers.
And who won the Cavs-Warriors series after falling down into? Who was the coach of the Clippers this year and of the Cavs then? Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's happening? Do you know why they're losing these games?
Great points.
They're on the road, okay? And they're getting the brakes beaten off them in the third quarter. What's the third quarter? Coach's quarter. You mean to tell me Ty Lue can't make adjustments? Now, that's on the road. Every series ever played, the road team either does what the home team either does what they're supposed to do and defends home court, right? Or the road team wins a game and it's like, uh-oh, the home team just messed up, right? The Clippers are going to have to win a game on the road. They're going to have to defend home court and win a game on the road. Can they do that? Yes, they can. Do they have the right coach for it? Yes, they do. Furthermore, Bogdanovich outplayed Kawhi Leonard on both ends of the floor last night. How many more times is that going to happen? Kawhi has bad games, all superstars do. But Kawhi is a clutch killer. You think he's going to let Bogdanovich outplay? He didn't let Luka outplay him all of last series. You think Bogdanovich is going to?
You're missing the point. Great points notwithstanding. You're still missing it. You see, when you have a superstar like Donovan Mitchell, and he's outshining you as a player, you can come back. But in the end, unlike Luka Doncic, he's got Bogdanovich, he's got Ingles, he's got Jordan Clarkson. They've done it without Mike Conley.
That's what's scary.
They've done it without Mike Conley. You have a perimeter defender in Royce O'Neal who's all over the place. All right.
Well, I love some Royce O'Neal.
It wasn't just Bogdanovich defending. It obviously was Royce O'Neal. Not only that, unlike against Dallas, you have someone on the interior that's telling you, you better stay out there and shoot them damn jump shots. You know what they have to do? to make a presence in the interior, they had to bring in DeMarcus Cousins. And let's be fair to DeMarcus Cousins. He's no scrub.
He scored a couple times, too, right?
When DeMarcus Cousins was healthy, he was averaging 28 a game. Yeah, yeah. Let's not forget
highly
that.
Highly skilled
about this
scoring
brother.
And passing.
You know, it's injuries that ravaged his career. Yeah. He can play, okay? So let's understand this. When you look at it from that perspective, in terms of everybody else, the Utah Jazz are saying, we're going to contest every shot on the perimeter of a Kawhi, of a Paul George. We're going to make – Reggie Jackson can drop his 29, but we're going to make somebody else beat us. On the interior, you ain't getting anything in here unless you go big boy, and that's not what the Clippers want to do because they want to – they're the best shooting team collectively in the NBA. And then on top of it all, you got Donovan Mitchell having help and – they can't guard him one-on-one.
Therefore, what
they can't guard him one-on-one.
And by the way, he's not like
Ty Lue had to go to a zone.
How many times is Ty Lue gonna, you know, like at a certain point, no Patrick Beverley for Rondo, and there'll be other things that he adjusts.
He had to go zone.
I know.
Zone.
Here's the thing that I've been saying since the beginning of this series, Stephen A. If Paul George shows up, because Kawhi will eventually show up in this series and he'll be big time. Mm-hmm. If Paul George shows up, they have a chance to win. If he doesn't, they don't, period. And showing up more, showing up in the fourth quarter but not the rest of the game, scoring 20 points but taking a ton of shots to do it is not showing up. I'm talking about be his normal self.
But
a high-level, efficient
scorer.
Did he
show up last
defense.
Night in your opinion?
No, he didn't.
27 and 10, he still did. It was a bad 27-10 game.
It was bad.
It was not that impressive.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. Here's the other point that you're missing. Every three that Paul George or Kawhi Leonard takes is contested or off the dribble. There are no open shots for those two from the perimeter. When they get space, it's because they create it themselves, not because the team and the ball movement is creating it for
them. That's true.
That's not going to beat Utah.
I agree. By the way,
that's
I agree with that, too. Do you believe in Ty Lue as a coach or not? At a certain point, people are going to stop looking at him and thinking it's luck because he had LeBron
James. I believe in Ty Lue, but I've seen Ty Lue lose, even though I believe in him.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, the drama. The Packers' three-day minicamp has come and gone, and Aaron Rodgers was a no-show, potentially forfeiting $90,000 for his absence. The standoff continues, and there doesn't appear to be any reconciliation in sight. On that note, we bring in Monday Night Football's Lewis Riddick. Hi, Lou.
How you doing?
I'm good. I will get to you in a moment, but I'm going to start with you, Max Kellerman. Max, is this the best thing for Aaron Rodgers to miss camp?
Not only is this the best thing for Aaron Rodgers, this is easily the best thing for everybody involved. Everybody involved. I'll get to Aaron Rodgers last. First of all, the Packers. They get to evaluate Jordan Love, find out what they have. And by the way, if they like what they see, then they can trade Rodgers and get three first-round picks and stuff and have a quarterback and be ready to build a dynasty. If you think Jordan Love's ready to play now and you think he can be a really good quarterback and he was worth the first-round pick and he made real strides through camp and you can compete with him this year and then you add three firsts and more stuff to that team, you do that right. And Gutekunst has shown himself capable in that regard, actually. You got a dynasty. Great for the Packers. How about for Jordan Love? He gets a look right now that he would not – he gets reps with the first team right now he would not otherwise get. This is only going to help his development. And from Aaron Rodgers' point of view, think about it. If they like Jordan Love, they're going to trade Aaron Rodgers. Because what are you going to make? You're going to die on – you're going to stand on principle. You're going to die on that hill. I'm saying, I got to show Aaron Rodgers who's boss. If you like your quarterback, you're not going to take all those draft picks and everything you can get for Rodgers. You'll trade him. He'll wind up playing for the Broncos or whoever he wants to play for. That's one. Two, if they don't like Jordan Love, now they have to come hat in hand to Aaron Rodgers, which probably includes a public mea culpa. I'm sorry, you will have input, and trading Jordan Love. I don't see what – is there a downside? Sure. Rodgers, you know, isn't as ready to play when the season begins. If he does start with the Packers, maybe they lose to the Saints week one or something like that, where otherwise they'd win. That's a double-digit win team with Rodgers. They're going to the playoffs anyway with Rodgers. It's not that there's no downside. It's that it's the best-case scenario for everyone.
I don't think it's the best thing for Green Bay. And I caught some of what you said. I didn't hear everything, and I'm going to tell you why. It's no disrespect to you. Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Louis Riddick, Adam Schefter, Dan Graziano, the list goes on and on. I don't hear a damn thing anybody saying about Aaron Rodgers with Football Max, because to me, I don't understand why everybody keeps bringing up football when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. This situation is not about football. It's not about him looking at the Green Bay Packers and saying, I want to be in a better situation. It's not about him saying, rhetorically speaking, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Is he trying to say, I can't win with Green Bay? No. Is he trying to say we don't have enough talent in Green Bay? No. Is he trying to say we have bad coaching in Green Bay? No. Is he trying to say that I hate the city, I hate the fans, I can't stand being here? No. He's not saying any of those things. So what is this about? It's about a guy that feels completely and utterly disrespected, and as a result, has clearly made the decision, I want to bring attention to how this organization treats people. That's what this is about. When are we going to stop playing games? Because every time we bring up football and we bring up the Devontae Adams or anybody else that they have on their squad or Matt LaFleur or anybody else, we ignore what the issue is. That sits up there. Because if you're able to look at Gutekunst, you're able to go like this. Not a bad job. 13-3 the last two seasons in an NFC championship game. I mean, he's going to be respected. Mark Murphy comes out. Gutekunst ain't going anywhere. He's our guy, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that allows them to focus on, oh, look at what our organization is doing, as opposed to paying attention to what the superstar quarterback and future Hall of Famer, who at the moment stands is the reigning league MVP. We're ignoring what he said. He is talking about the organization. And nobody says, and I said this the other day, Lewis, and I'm going to say it again and hand it off to you. I said this the other day on national television. When is somebody going to look at Gutekunst? When is somebody going to look at Mark Murphy and say, what did you do to him? What did you do? Why? Since 2005, he's been at Lambeau Field for frozen tundra, freezing, not complaining at all, at all. He signed one contract after another. He represents the fan base. They won a Super Bowl, okay? He's a multi-time league MVP. What did you do to that man? Why would he, fresh off of two trips, back-to-back trips to an NFC championship game, why would that man sit up there and say, I don't want no parts of y'all? You did something to him, and nobody there has asked him that. What did you do to him? That is what this is about. That's the story.
I know one person you listen to about Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead, Lewis.
Now, look, Stephen A., look, listen, I agree. Okay, I agree with your point here about this being bigger than football. And I think for the Green Bay Packers, and I said this yesterday, I said, look, there obviously was there's an accumulation of things that have happened to Aaron, and maybe not just to Aaron, but to other people in this organization, whether it be players. I can't go any further than that. But whether, I think specifically though with players, maybe that were stalwart players, that were pillar players in terms of how they were treated and how they were looked at within the organization and how you know, their time came to an end there and how that was handled, that obviously is not sitting well with him, and how his time, as he said a year ago, that he didn't think he could control how his time there in Green Bay was going to end, how that is being handled. Those are the kind of things when you're talking about, when you're asking the question, what have you done to this man? I think those are the kind of things that we're talking about here. And I have said, look, I get it from his side of it because I've seen it from a player perspective and from a front office perspective. Guys like Aaron Rodgers have earned the right to have different levels of communication and conversation with front office and management than other people would. That's just a fact. Brian Gutekunst knows this. I know Mark Murphy knows this. He's been in the league a long time. They know better than that. They know better than to think that we, the Packers, the emblem, the colors, are bigger than the players. Because the players made the Packers who they are. And Aaron Rodgers in particular has brought a level of attention to this franchise on par with anyone that they've ever had at that franchise. So for them to not recognize that and or change the way that they're doing business is a big mistake. Because you see, and it's a mistake that now has resulted in this. A guy saying, as you just alluded to, Stephen A., I don't want to play for you. I don't want to play for you. It's not about money. It's not about anything. I just don't want to play for you. You know why? Because I don't like you. I don't like how you do things. Now, for Green Bay, it does make sense for him to sit out. It does. If I was Green Bay, I would like the fact that he's not coming to training camp from this regard. If you're a really reasonable person and have some common sense, I would take him for his word and say, look, he ain't coming back. We better find out where we are with Jordan Love. We better find out what our football team's going to look like. And you know what? I don't care what they do during training camp and preseason. They're still not going to know. They're still not going to know.
Hey, Max, let me chime in here because I want to throw this. I want to make sure before you chime in, I want to throw this by you because I want you to comment about this as well. We've obviously lived through some really turbulent times over the last year and a half. We all know why, right? And it wasn't just COVID that I'm talking about, obviously. But I'm not going to bring all of that up. I'm only bringing that up to say, Max, when we harken back to those times, you religiously, and Lewis, you've heard Max do this as well. You've brought up Colin Kaepernick. What we've also done is we've used it to highlight the level of control that NFL franchises exercise. Now, when you handle it as Lewis would, you know, and we all believe that Lewis should be an executive in the NFL. I ain't shy about saying that. But the level of professionalism and decorum that you exercise is ultra important even more to the football players because they already feel like they have to succumb to the establishment. You have individuals in positions of power in the National Football League who know they're buffered by the rules that govern the league. And so as a result, they're able to look at an Aaron Rodgers. And instead of listening to him and saying, hey, man, we get where you're coming from. This is what we're thinking about doing. Here's why. You know, we want to hear what you have to say, but this is what we're thinking. They're the type of people that have said to him, you go play football. We handle this. You stay in your place. That's how he's been treated. It's not just about other players. That's how they've treated him. And so to me, when we bring up football stuff, that should be a further indictment against the Green Bay Packers as an organization. Because why would somebody want to leave a team that's been to back-to-back NFC championship games? Why would they want to leave?
Yeah.
What have you done to them?
Stephen A., I totally agree with that. And in fact, that's why I'm saying what the Packers need to get through their heads if they want to keep Rodgers is they're not the ones deciding. Rodgers is the one deciding. If he stays, it's because they have changed his mind. That's why I'm saying here, if they decide Jordan Love ain't it, then they need to trade Jordan Love. They need to come hat in hand publicly to Aaron Rodgers, humble themselves, and appeal to his sensibilities. Hey, we were wrong. You were right. We would like you to stay, hoping they can change his mind, but they won't be able to force him to do anything. They know they won't be able to force him to do anything. I hear you, and I agree. And, Lewis, I believe that Rodgers here will be the deciding one. The NFL has changed the rules around the quarterback and the offense to the point where if you are super great, if you're a great quarterback, mm-hmm. you are now like an NBA star possibly in terms of the power you wield. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. We'll see if the Packers know it or not.
It's possible they might not know
that. They may not know it, and then they're behind the
times.
Lewis,
you could go, but it's possible they might not know that because they might treat him like they treat typical players. Oh, they'll come back for the money. He ain't sitting out the season. They might have that kind
of. But you brought it up. He could go host Jeopardy.
Yes, he could.
They're going to pass on three first-round picks and more stuff.
That was their best ratings.
Yeah, I'll say this. Let me speak to it from Green Bay side and then circle back to something you said, Max, about who's going to actually decide this thing. Look, Green Bay, if I'm looking at it from their side, all right, let me just put myself in their shoes from a management perspective. And what would I do if I were them at this point? If I had already pushed it to this point anyway, I wouldn't do anything. Okay, I think I would have already made my best pitch in order to try and, quote unquote, change his mind. Right now, all of my energy would be focused on what we have there, and that's Jordan Love, and trying to figure out, was he worth trading up for in the draft? Is he someone who will try and get some answers here through the rest of the summer and through training camp preseason and the regular season? But we're not going to have all the answers. This is what we've got to ride with. Okay, we already know where Aaron stands with this. And then let me get back to this point here about Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to change his mind. Aaron will play in Green Bay if he wants to. If he doesn't, then he may just be forced to retire. Because I don't think Green Bay's not going to acquiesce to him. I don't think, and at least not before the regular season starts. They're going to sit and wait. They're going to play this high-stakes game of chicken with him and see if he's willing to let fines accrue through training camp, see if the regular season starts. Are you willing to forego salary? Are you willing to have fines accrue then? Are you really willing to take this to a Carson Palmer level? If I'm Green Bay, that's what I'm waiting to see.
Lewis.
And if I'm Aaron Rodgers... If I'm Aaron Rodgers, if I've already taken it this far, I have to be willing to go as far as it needs to go in order to get out of there.
Lewis Riddick, I think you could tell by the jacket here. I mean, I can go a little Hollywood and stuff like that. And so as a result of that, Lewis, I mean, just so you know, Molly, I got a few connections and I got on a little authority that Aaron Rodgers could host Jeopardy and make a minimum of $10 million per.
Damn.
Per. Okay? $10 million per host of the game show.
But that's always be there, Stephen A. There's just a window for football.
Now, I understand that, but that's what I'm saying. In other words, if you want to sit out for the year.
Mm-hmm. But the
if you want to sit out for the year, he ain't going to starve,
Take it to its logical conclusion.
No.
Lewis, like, this is what I mean. Take it. There's no way, unless the Packers really want to prove a point to their players, that they're going to give up, once Rodgers shows he means business, three firsts and more stuff than that? Three, four first-round picks? They're just going to say, nah, we won't we won't take Rodgers?
No, I'm sure there may come a point, Max, where they wind up saying, hey, you know what? Listen, instead of being fearful of if we trade him to a certain place and he winds up winning, the backlash we will face, it would be better for us to go ahead and recoup as much as we possibly can for some team that's basically willing to give us everything they got and send him down the road because we can't fix this. I'm sure there's going to come a point where Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy have to make that decision. And that will probably be the decision that they do make. I'm just saying I wouldn't hold my breath in that coming anytime soon.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Let's examine some storylines before Game 3. Joel Embiid is averaging over 39 points through two games in the East Semis. A third straight playoff game with at least 35 would tie Embiid with Wilt for the longest streak in team history. Trae Young shot 1-for-7 from deep in the Hawks Game 2 loss, including the playoffs. Ice Trae's three-point percentage drops by double digits when Atlanta wins or loses. Returning to here, we got the Hawks game three chances since Nate McMillan became head coach. Atlanta trails only the Nets for the best home win percentage in the NBA. Stephen A., who is the most important player in Game 3 tonight?
I would tell you it's going to be Ben Simmons. That comes from the fact that I was in Atlanta for their first-round series against the Knicks, seeing that crowd, how they feed off of that crowd in Atlanta, not to mention the fact that, you know, obviously it's familiar rims because that's their home court. Herder and Collins and Young and all of those boys shoot better, obviously, at home, and they really, really feed off of that adrenaline and that energy that they're providing. The reason why Ben Simmons is so important, Max, is because in this particular game, the other games I didn't feel that way. I thought it was Tobias Harris, if you recall. For this particular game, I would tell you it's Ben Simmons because in Atlanta, because of how they play when they're there, it's going to be incredibly important to him to dictate and control pace. And Ben Simmons is the one person that has the power to do that on the offensive end in terms of patrolling the Sixers offense, and on the defensive end in terms of him defending against Trae Young. Because what he's going to have to do is stay in front of Trae Young. He's not going to have, he's going to have to make sure that Trae isn't allowed to penetrate into the seams or into the teeth of their defense and draw fouls. Because Trae Young is a master at drawing fouls. You know, he'll stop on a dime just to let you run into him and just pick up and forces you to pick up these ticky-tack fouls that can send you to the bench because you're in foul trouble. If you're able to keep him in front of you and not allow him to be the creator and let him just try to be a scorer because of it, it could help. It could bode well for the Philadelphia 76ers. That's why I say Ben Simmons is the most important person in tonight's game.
Well, I said Ben Simmons for the first two games, and our debate centered around it was Ben Simmons or Trae Young or Tobias Harris, right?
For that game.
For those first two games, yeah. it rotated. And that's the reason right now it's Embiid. Because, Stephen A., the only reason we picked those other players was because the assumption was Embiid wouldn't be Embiid. He'd missed games, and then it turns out he had a torn meniscus. So we stopped thinking that Embiid was the focal point and best player in the series, and we started thinking of Trae Young on offense. And Trae Young's offense, and what are the Sixers going to do about it? Well, what about Ben Simmons' defense, and what about Tobias Harris's offense? But then, lo and behold, Embiid comes out 39-9 with three blocks and a steal. He was plus 13, and they lost. Remember that? They lost, and I was on Doc about playing that all-bench unit and how it got him buried, and you can't waste a 39-point performance from Embiid on a torn meniscus. You can't waste that, Doc. And then the next night, Embiid comes out and gives you 40 with 13, a block, two steals. He's plus 14, and they win. Oh, pardon me, Joel Embiid. All of my analysis of this series was assuming Embiid wasn't, not the real Embiid, wouldn't be able to show up. It turns out that's either the tiniest tear in a meniscus in history, that's the least torn meniscus in the history of torn meniscuses, or is it menisci?
Meniscus.
Or Embiid is just that dude, and we can expect this from him night in and night out. And if this is really Embiid, then Trae Young, apologies. Ben Simmons, apologies. That's the most important player in the series.
Well, first of all, a complete tier is entirely different than a partial tier, which you know, and I definitely have had my share of meniscus tears, so I know a thing or two about it, and it definitely impedes your ability to jump and all of that stuff. But in the end, you know what? If you had to play, you can still play.
Apparently, I was born with a torn meniscus.
Particularly with the kind of facilities that you have available to you and all of that other stuff. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. It's about Trae Young and neutralizing him in the ATL for Game 3. Game 3, they're going to be hyped. They're going to be psyched because they smell blood. And they believe they can beat these Sixers. And they believe that, you know what, we can get to the conference finals against the Nets. Matter of fact, they believe they're the best team to beat the Nets because they have shooters. And in order to beat the Nets, you need to have shooters. That's what their thinking is right now. You're Ben Simmons. You have the power to sort of negate all of that on both ends of the floor because you're the guy with the ball in your hands on the offense and you're the guy that's assigned with the most important defensive assignment.
If Embiid gets his averages, and anytime it's a 0.5 or I round it up, okay? His averages through two games in this series, 40 and 11 with two blocks and two steals. Like, if Embiid is that, and sometimes these do, like Donovan Mitchell, that's just who he is when it matters most. If this is who Embiid is, What are the Hawks going to do with
them? I just think it keeps them in the game, Max, but it's always somebody else that's going to be called upon to do something with Embiid. And I think that in this case,
he's a big Simmons. He's a big. The big always needs help.
Game three tonight, 7:30 Eastern, right here on ESPN.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.